Over the summer, the Gotham Bar and Grill has been offering a two-course vegetarian lunch menu featuring a different farmer each week and using almost exclusively their produce. Alfred Bortali, its executive chef and co-owner, has worked with most of these farms for quite some time, and all of them are Union Square Green Market vendors. Gotham has won a James Beard Foundation Award for Outstanding Restaurant, earned a Michelin star and 3 stars from the New York Times, and Chef Bortali was named the James Beard Foundation's Outstanding Chef in 2006. He joins us now, along with Tim Stark, whose Eckerton Hill Farms are famous for their tomatoes and chilies. Mr. Stark is also a writer whose work has appeared in Gourmet, Organic Gardening, Alimentum, and elsewhere, and he's published a memoir called Heirloom, Notes from an Accidental Tomato Farmer. Welcome to our show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hi.
Hey, Leonard.
Alfred, how soon after you opened Gotham did you begin shopping at the Union Square Market?
Well, immediately, Leonard. We are 2 blocks from the market, and as you know, we are very seasonally oriented at Gotham, and so it was early on that we made friends with the farmers at the market, and really it's been a fantastic relationship with them.
Well, you'd worked in France under a couple of culinary legends, Jacques Maximin and Pierre Trogoro. Do they buy all of their produce from local farms?
Well, not Maximin so much, but you know, I also worked with Michel Gérard, and Gérard had a huge farm, a vegetable garden, an herb garden on the property. So we would begin our day, each service, lunch and dinner service, by going out into the garden and picking, you know, that day's lettuces and fresh herbs. So. It's really a great way to start a day of work in the kitchen.
I just was talking to someone from Houston, and she said that they really don't have farmers markets. I wondered what the top chefs there do. Do they just have to have it shipped in?
Well, you know, Leonard, top restaurants use specialty purveyors. And while there are a lot of big produce companies that kind of supply you with your bulk ingredients like carrots and not specialty carrots, but just your general produce. We use a whole slew of small specialty purveyors for mushrooms or greens or microgreens, lettuces, herbs. So even here at Gotham, when we're not buying from the market, we also have developed relationships with a lot of small vendors.
Tim, how long have you been bringing your produce to the Union Square Market?
This is our 15th year.
And was it your idea from the start to hook up with the chefs who go there in search of something special? Or did,
I guess something just
developed?
In the back of my mind, I was hoping that would happen. But the first year, we came with about 50 varieties of tomatoes. And at the time, it was kind of a new thing.
I didn't know there were 50 varieties
of
tomatoes.
I didn't know. It made farming much more interesting to me. I had a garden that grew that year to about 2 acres, and some of the first people that hopped on the truck and started picking through my tomatoes were from Gotham Bar and Grill and Gotham alums. Bill Telepan, Charles Kiley, and Jacinto, who worked at Gotham, were immediately sort of taken by the tomatoes. So.
Well, you've had some pretty interesting people who've worked for you over the years. Tom Valenti, also Wiley Dufresne, even Tom Colicchio. So you've described yourself, Tim, as an accidental tomato farmer. How do you become a tomato farmer with 50 varieties by accident?
Yeah, well, it did seem like I just sort of slipped further and further into farming. I kind of didn't really want to do it. I was afraid, you know, farming. I'd just become an old surly curmudgeon or something, you know.
Well, you come from a farming family.
No, I don't. My mother's a writer. My father's a lawyer. I was supposed to take over my dad's law practice, you know. I think you see a lot of people in food and farming these days in a similar situation. So I just kept getting deeper and deeper into it, and suddenly I realized this is something I could make a living at in ways that I didn't feel like I was making a living earlier.
Well, you were doing it in a Brooklyn apartment?
Yeah, I had a lot of seedlings in the apartment. I moved them up under the roof, and the seedlings kept getting bigger. I kept putting them into bigger pots, and pretty soon I couldn't stay on the roof anymore. They had to go back to Pennsylvania. And then I was a farmer, so.
Alfred, Tim's tomatoes have made him a favorite of chefs throughout the city. What's he doing that other tomato growers aren't?
Well, you know, Tim has been, you know, he's very modest. You mentioned how did he get to be so popular with chefs? Well, it was the chefs who sought him out. He was one of the early farmers in the market to bring such a outstanding variety of tomatoes. But and very, very tasty varieties as well.
How different are they? Are there discernible differences in taste with the various varieties, and especially with heirloom tomatoes?
Well, you know, it's easier said than done. I'm fond of telling the story. When I first put a vegetable garden in many years ago, I spent a great deal of money building the fence around it and buying all the soil and getting the stakes and getting the plants. And in the end, they just didn't have the taste. Tim ultimately bailed me out by giving me a couple of small plants one year. Do you remember that, Tim?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Well, but, yeah. Go ahead.
You know, and just it's just really the care in which you know they're picked and delivered and sorted.
Yeah, we have a real tight turnaround. We pick, I mean, we're picking, we finished picking today, we packed today, and we're going to market tomorrow with the tomatoes we picked today. It's just, you know, it's tight turnaround. Just same thing in the kitchen. Everything gets turned around, brought in, and there's no preparation. There's a similarity.
Well, heirloom tomatoes grow in irregular shapes. Does that turn off some shoppers who are used to those perfectly round, bright red things they find in the supermarket?
Not anymore. No, actually, they seem to go for the... For the butchered one, the one that looks like it's suffered a little bit. They seem to distrust the perfect ones. Yeah.
Do chefs request exclusive rights to particular varieties?
I remember for a while. You really liked the black plum there for a while. But no. I mean they're definitely, I mean, I always set aside a certain amount for each chef because I know someone, you know, one chef's going to want a lot of green zebra, one's going to want, you know, another one's going to want a lot of purple calabash or Cherokee purple. But we mix and mix and mix. That seems to be the best thing. And as long as all of the things that we're, all the different varieties we mix together are good, that works.
Well, Alfred, how much of this is about the way these tomatoes look, the different colors when you put them on a plate?
Well, Leonard, you know, certainly the beauty of using all these multiple varieties of heirlooms, the different shapes, the different hues of color, are important. They're important in the sort of the visual aspect of the plate. But as you know, taste is most important, and how you treat the tomatoes, and they're so unique. You know, the small little sun golds are super sweet. Some of the yellow ones are lower in acid and have lower seed counts, and they kind of carry flavors differently. So the variety and treating each shape and color, you cutting it a little bit differently, plays into the finished dish.
Don't heirlooms produce a lower yield? I mean, I've tried growing heirlooms in my my terrace, and I get one or two tomatoes. Other plants produce a lot of tomatoes. Unfortunately, the squirrels have been eating them all this year.
Yeah, everybody. The deer like them, the groundhogs, the rabbits. Yeah, they don't produce as much as a regular beefsteak, and they tend to, you know, you tend to have to chuck more because they're oozing when you pull them off, and especially because we pick them ripe. You know, we don't pick them green.
You're also growing chilies, a bunch of varieties of chilies?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's 100 varieties of tomatoes and 40 to 60 chilies?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And we've had a really good response to that, an increasing response to Adam from Gotham, you know, Adam Longworth from Gotham Bar and Grill came to visit the farm a couple years ago, and he saw this, one of the hottest chilies I had. He just loved it because it had a great aroma, but it was very hot, and he made a ceviche dish out of it. I think one chili was enough for 40 dishes of the ceviche, so he spread, you know, he cut the heat enough to make it work just right in the restaurant. So
that you actually save a lot of money, Alfred, when you're buying stuff. Buy one chili and you can do 40 dishes.
Yeah.
I remember those chilies well. We used to do a number of things with them, but part of one of the one of the ways we preserved them was to confit them in oil, and we had to do it between lunch and dinner because they were so strong that the smell of them would make your everybody in the kitchen's eyes tearing. They were extraordinarily hot.
And you start coughing too. The fumes. Yeah. They just.
So what are you cooking from Tim's Produce in these luncheon menus?
Well, I think Tim, you're up again next week. What we've done with some of these vegetarian concepts, and Tim mentioned Adam Longworth, my chef de cuisine, and he's been sort of the point man on this. But we often take a concept that we are using for meat or proteins, and sort of back the vegetables from the particular farm into it. And this week's a good example. We were working on a tasting menu, and I like to use like something as an organizing principle. So we were using sort of Spain, the sort of spicy hot summer or flavors of Spain, and came up with a dish that uses tomato in a number of ways. We make sort of a caponata style preparation with tomatoes and some sugar. We do a play on chorizo and eggs. It's a quail egg, and then the potatoes are just chorizo spiced with smoked paprika, but no meat. We have a lot of fun with the menu each week, and try to build a lot of flavors on the plate, from what's available at the farm.
Well, we're seeing more and more vegetarian menus where people are working creatively with them. Tim, you farm without chemicals. Have you had to contend with the tomato blight that's hit this area over the past few years?
2 years ago. I got a lot of press for that. 2 years ago, I had just bought a farm, and I sprayed 5 times in my field for late blight, and I knew I had a sprayer in my field. It had flat tires because it had been unused for 7 years. I pulled it out, fixed the flat tires, and used it. And I was in. I got a lot of press for it because everyone called me. What are you doing? I said I'm saving my farm, but that was the one time in 15 years. This year there's a lot of humidity, a lot of early blight, and other things. I'm not spraying it. I lost my cucumbers. Didn't spray them.
So. Alfred, the Summer Dining Series is also a fundraiser for Grow New York City's program, Grow to Learn, that helps schools plan, implement, and manage their school gardens. It's important to get kids to understand what they're eating, and we're seeing more and more of that. Almost all the top chefs have gotten involved in these kinds of programs.
It's a very, very important effort. And I mentioned Adam, but Brett Senses, our general manager, has taken a big interest in Grow NYC, and we've supported them in a number of ways over the last 2 or 3 years. This the concept of teaching kids the importance of eating well and the importance of good food. It's really an ongoing effort, and it's important, and it's great that a lot of chefs have gotten involved.
Well, it's hard to believe that in 1976 it was difficult to get a decent tomato in Manhattan, and that's when the city's council on the environment established the Green Market Program. Two people who are involved, Tim Stark, whose Eckerton Hill Farms are famous for their tomatoes and chilies, has been our guest, along with Alfred Portali, executive chef at the Gotham Bar and Grill. Thank you both so much for being on our show.
Thank you.